been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Guys, I want to fit in. I want to be a part of the team, so I am officially putting myself on the pup list. That's right. Apparently this offseason...
I'm not talking dogs either.
No. It is Mutt Day, but I am definitely... I'm not a dog. I am one of the Baltimore Ravens' finest because, man, it feels as if this entire team is on the pup list. Joining me to talk about this, as always, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, man, it's been... It's been up and down line since we last spoke. I mean, you know, we had the breaking news with Flacco. You know, I had to go to practice this weekend. So it's been interesting. We're, I would say this. I mean, it's August. Football's here. I mean, recording this on, what, Tuesday this week? The Hall of Fame game's 2 days away. The Ravens stand 9 days away from their first preseason game at home against the Redskins. I mean, football's upon us, but I don't know about me and you, but I thought we needed to study for our medical exams today because I feel like we're working at Johns Hopkins. I mean, well, geez. Seriously. I mean, just today, new names get added, and I'm like, let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 10 names on the list, and that's probably not even done yet.
And that is without any preseason games.
And without the 53-man cut, I mean, you figure, what, there's over 70 players on the roster right now? But even if it was cut to 53, you're talking 10 out of 50. You're talking like a fifth of your roster already, or right now a seventh of your roster already hurt or yeah, at some form of ailment, which is normal in football. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 season endings. And we'll talk about Canada because he could return, but who knows? That could be playoffs. And we know Josh retires. I mean, just add the names up. I'm getting sick of it already. We didn't even play football. I mean, this is practice. This is weightlifting. This is scrimmaging. We're not even playing against the Redskins in preseason, and we're already getting hurt.
Yeah, so let's talk about this offseason and training camp and how many Ravens that were supposed to be in the starting lineup this year are no longer a part of the team. I mean, go all the way back to Zach Orr, who was told by a doctor, you know, you have this this condition, you could easily break your neck, and you should stop playing football, and he retired. It seems as if he's trying to make a comeback right now because he got a second opinion, but still – he's not a Raven, and he was very much expected to be one this year. Tavon Young, he got hurt early on in OTAs. Dennis Pitt is gone. Darren Waller's gone due to suspension. Ken Dixon's out for the year.
Suspension.
Yeah, that. Waller's a suspension, yeah, for the whole season.
Yeah, I forgot about it. All right, add him to the list.
John Urschel, he retires on the first day of training camp, which we definitely have to talk about him because that is a very interesting reason to retire, which I think a lot of people are going to be thinking about that the same way John Urschel has. But we'll get back to him in a minute. Crockett Gilmore got hurt, and now he's out for this season. And then this rookie, Saragusa, he's out for the season as well. And now we have the Ravens Zone on Facebook. They are reporting that Breshad Perryman had a hamstring injury today. Quincy, I hope I'm saying his name right. Adebojeo. I don't know if that's correct. It's probably
Almost want to say it's almost like Ian Badejo, but it's not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pronounce that name all day. But it's funny to me. Well, I'm not going to say funny, but ironic. Because this guy, and we'll talk about practice. So it was a practice Sunday night.
Yeah.
This guy was all over the highlight reel. Number 88, this guy, Amadeja, or whatever. I'm just calling him Amadeja. I'm probably going to butcher the name, but it just seems natural. But just looking at the name. But this guy was all over the field making plays. So yeah. It sucks to see him go down.
We don't know what's going on with him right now, but he was carted off today. Supposedly, the Ravens Zone on Facebook, again, they're the ones reporting this. I don't know how much they actually do know. And then Maurice, I think it's Kennedy. I think that's how you say
Maurice
his name.
Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy. He's a long chance for a return this season. That's insane. And then not even Joe Flacco out for supposedly a week. You know, what is how is this a thing? Because I am just shocked that this many people have gone down and we haven't even seen these guys play on the field yet this year. And a lot of these injuries we'll get into that. But first off, let's just go over why do you think all these injuries are happening to these players in the offseason, in training camp, in, you know, what's going on? Is it strength and conditioning? Is it what's the deal?
It's got to be strength and conditioning, and everybody's been harping at the collective bargaining agreement, pointing to that being a source. If you look at things that change in practice, limiting practices, I mean, how many times that the players went to two-a-days and full practices back in the Westminster days, and I didn't nearly recall the injury list this long, especially in 2012, 2013, 2014, when me and you were covering the team. Uh-huh. I don't remember the injury list being this long. Yeah, things happened, but it was like a Ray Lewis torn tricep during a game. And a Ladarius Webb injury during a game. Dennis Pitta hip injury during a game. Granted, the third injury, but that's besides the point. All those major injuries at Flacco's knee during a game against the Rams at home. These major injuries happen during games. And Cowboys fans were already chirping in our ears, like, oh, well, Flacco had a back injury, so did Tony Romo. Tony Romo's injury was due to contact during a game, so let's get that straight. Flacco's was the lifting. Apparently, it was a slipped disc. I don't know what it was. They say disc. It came out to be muscular. I don't know, but I've talked to trainers about pulling muscles in weightlifting. It's an injury you can come back from. It's not that serious. As long as he didn't break his back or pull it significantly where he needs a wheelchair or a walker, he's going to be fine. That's just my opinion. I have some new doctor, but I've gotten opinions of people who are in the medical field and have seen these type of injuries in the gym, especially personal trainers I closely work with. I think it is collective bargaining agreement correlation because the practices are limited. They're told when to practice, how long they can practice. Everybody's getting on Harbaugh. He's too hard on the players. No. How many times in high school football and college football, or even high school, this is just single out high school football, you know Friday Night Lights, the stories. You've read about them. You're into the series and all that, even the movie. How many times have we heard two-a-days? You know, two-a-days, maybe even 3 days. You did it as a kid. You did it in high school. I don't know what college practices are like, but maybe they do in college. When they're told to regiment how much they can do and how much contact, their body's not used to that. So when they go to full contact, they're going to get hurt worse if not. But I always say that with careful consideration to know that they have the world's best trainers, the world's best nutrition plans, the world's best state-of-the-art facilities. So these guys are getting the treatment. They make millions of dollars. They're high-class athletes. They put their bodies on the line for the sake of entertainment. So this isn't us going to patient first in the local hometowns here and getting fixed. And these guys got doctors. I mean, Ray Lewis got surgery on his triceps, and he was back for a playoff run. He rehabbed hard, and he did it. How many times have we seen a lot of athletes, not only in football, but basketball, baseball, WWE, hockey even. I mean, you cover the Capitals. How many times you see a major gnarly injury and then they come back? These guys have the best things. But almost want to look at other sports. You know, it brings up a good discussion because you almost – I mean, baseball is different. They have way different conditioning because they're a certain type of game. But basketball, hockey's physical even. You know, compared to football where it's on skates and you're constantly – those guys are athletes and you know it, which covering the Capitals. Mm-hmm. You just want to think – I almost like to know what the NHL conditioning is versus the NBA. I mean, NBA, obviously, they're not putting pads on, but let's just go for the sake of conversation comparing to NHL and NFL because these guys have helmets, these guys have pads, these guys go hard, they hit. A lot of scary injuries, but you don't – for a fast-paced game on ice like hockey is, and I see the big hits. I'm a big hockey fan now since, you know, coming up over the ranks here in the years. And I've been in person. I've seen nasty hits. I watch games and see crazy hits, skates flying, you know, people busted teeth, broken stuff, and they're out there. But then you see people in practice in football, they're just running and catching, and all of a sudden you plant and you tweak an Achilles heel, you're tweaking knees. It's just like, I understand it's different body movements, you know, Brandon. It's you know, you're catching the ball, you're trying to block, and your leg goes one way, weight's pushed on the other way, you're blocking a 300-pound guy, it's putting weight on your body, but a lot of different moving parts for your body, and it sometimes it goes against the laws of gravity and nature, per se, but I think it's a collective bargaining agreement to really get down on it. It has to be, because they're limiting practices, and it's definitely a growing concern. And I don't think it's just us. I mean, I see the injury reports around the league, and I only do that because, you know, fantasy football helps. But when you're constantly looking at a fantasy draft and looking at injury reports of other teams and seeing who you're going to draft from a fantasy team, I see the injury reports. I see, oh, so-and-so, sir. Jay Ajayi is an example. He's already being monitored for concussion, and they ain't even played a game yet for the Dolphins. So there's a concern there, too, and we play them in week 2 of the preseason. So there's some correlation here, not just us, but everybody else is dealing with some injuries, man.
Everybody is, but it just doesn't seem like it's to the extent of the Ravens. I mean,
and not to the extent, but high-profile players. I mean, high impact. I mean, Flacco is back lifting weights. You can call it, chalk it up as a fluke. That's not a conditioning thing. He just probably went too hard on the weight rack. I've done it before, overextended myself and had to be careful with my neck muscles and everything, lifting. It happens. But you figure with the Croc Gilmore injury, tearing it up, Nico Siragusa today with the knee, it's just like you just chalk it up, and it's just it's high-profile player. Not to say I don't wish to happen to any player anytime, first, second, third, fourth string, practice squad, any player anytime. I don't. But we wouldn't be really hard-pressed and concerned is, okay, if it's a practice squad guy, yeah, it sucks. You would hang your head. That's disappointing. I really hope he gets his career on track and recovers. You wish that. But when it's if it's a Mike Wallace out there, or if it's a Macklin or a Flacco, any of these big names, it's definitely alarming, because you're like, we need these guys to perform because we have a division to look forward to winning and a Super Bowl run, and you can't get there when your studs are hurt. It's just really tough to overcome. We've seen that. How many times have we seen it in in-season where a big guy goes down, and it's a big blow to the team, man. It's really tough.
It really is, and I feel really bad for Crockett Gilmore. He worked really hard to come back. He didn't play all of last year. He seems very injury-prone, and now he's out for the entire year. What do you think? Is this it for Crockett? Do you think he can come back from this? He's been with the Ravens a couple years, but like him and Darren Waller, this was supposed to be their breakout years, and here they are both sitting on the bench. Is this it for their NFL careers?
Not at all. It's it for Pitta, obviously. That's what my personal feeling is. He just needs to hang it up, you know, not further put damage to himself. Crockett will come back. Tavon Young, he'll come back. All these guys come back. Dixon was his sophomore year. He'll come back stronger than ever. It's when you get up there in age and you kind of wonder, can your body take the punishment of coming back? Like, and you look at the questions of Steve Smith and Terrell Suggs. When they tore their Achilles towards the tail ends of their career, Steve Smith didn't want to go on top like that with a towel over his head, him hobbling off the field. He's a warrior. And with certain players, they'll give it one more shot. But sometimes you just got to call it quits. Pitta was a different story. He shattered his hip three separate times. That's something where you don't want to be paralyzed for life and have to think about the future. And that's why Urshel retired. You know, the CTE study came out, and he was kind of like, you know what? I mean, not to say his brain's still there, but he kind of thought about it. He's a smart guy, not to discredit anybody else. But we already know the guy's known for his brains, the smartness, and yeah, what he can do. Mathematician. He's a professional mathematician, which is insane.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about John Urshel here.
Yeah, man.
Like you said, the CTE study came out by the New York Times about 2 weeks ago, and he read it, and it was a bunch of NFL, former NFL players, and the damage done to their brains. Like you said, John Urshel, he is a legit mathematician. He is a genius, really, and when he got a concussion last, I believe he said December, it took him about 3 weeks to get back into football shape, but it took his brain like 6 or 7 weeks to get back to the mathematician that he was before the concussion. So I don't blame the guy for stepping away from the game if he wants to have a career as a mathematician once his career would eventually have been over. But to read that article, to suffer a concussion, it's obvious he made a well-educated move to retire. I wish, you know, it didn't happen on the first day of training camp, and that – You know, the staff would have known about it beforehand, so they could have made moves. But John Urschel, I got nothing but respect for the guy for stepping away. I mean, you know, he's got to love the game to play it, especially at this level. But obviously, he was worried about his brain, and being a legit mathematician who can solve, you know, potentially he could solve a lot of the world's problems down the road. It makes sense for him to step away from the game and focus on that, and not want to have damage to your brain like that. And I have to wonder, are there going to be other players that kind of follow in his footsteps? I have to assume there will be.
There definitely will be. And it's definitely something that has to be talked about. I mean, and John did something for himself, his career. And we were talking at work today. And, you know, whether you love him or hate him, you know, speaking of Floyd Mayweather coming up with the big event with McGregor, but Floyd always said boxing was about getting hit, not getting hit. Again, you know, how does the correlation of boxing and football go? You know, boxing has a different correlation, but that's the thing. But Mayweather always said, love or hate him, this is why he does what he does. He hits, and then the object is the hit, not get hit. And he even said in an interview, and I'm trying to dig it up to find the quote, but I remember the interview because he actually said the reasons why he does what he does and the craft he protects. You don't need to see him get brutalized and all that. It's because he said, I have a family and a future to protect. It was kind of like paraphrasing in the way where he's like, you know, boxing, you take the hits and hits and hits and jabs on your head, and you can only take so much. And he goes, some of the boxers fizzle out because of that. And it's leaking in the NFL where these guys are putting their bodies on the line, the concussion studies, and they're studying these brains of, you know, dead athletes and whatnot, which is just insane and crazy. It's wow. It's neuroscience and whatnot, but it's getting to a level where players are starting to contemplate their futures and go, is the paycheck worth it? And I've said these guys, their money's justified. You know, everybody just complains that, well, they make way more than, you know, people that are putting their lives in line for our country. They make more than doctors, and they make more than the guys who save lives all the time. Yeah, it's sad, but these guys put their bodies in line for the sake of entertaining us for our expense. And if you were to do that on a daily basis, what would it take you? What would it take you to put your body through the rigors of training? And, hey, I could blow out my knee tomorrow. I could blow out my hip. I could get a concussion. I can mess myself up. At what cost is the paycheck worth it? And that's what John Urschel was probably thinking about. He goes, dude, I'm 26 years old. He probably stashed away his cash that he made from the NFL, and he probably set himself up. He's going to do bigger and better things. Most athletes do. And he said, you know what? Let's do it. I'm going to call it quits before things happen and get out of hand. And he had to do it for himself. I wouldn't be surprised if more players do it. But I would hope not, because this game, it's a vicious sport. It's a gladiator sport. And when guys love the game as much as they do, they live and die on the field, and they put the bodies in line and say, no one. Like Ray Lewis was a push all that. And I pose a question to you, man. Have we seen the last of Ray's kind? And what I mean by that is you don't see linebackers get in down and dirty and pound it. I've seen old school Ray Lewis highlights, and not even that, but you look at the old linebackers came before him, and Derek Brooks along the same era, and even the old school era with Mike Sung and Terry DeBuckis. These guys were mean, lean, green, man. They got in there, hit you, and hit you hard. And you have to figure, you know, and those guys are fine. I mean, Ray Lewis ain't walking around wondering, does he have a CTE, whatever it is. But it's just, you almost see, is it the last for time? Because these guys hit way worse back in the day, and they're fine. You're telling me if you change the collective bargaining agreement, now these guys are hitting less and getting hurt more? I don't understand it. So there's something at work there, or something changed in conditioning, whether the athletes aren't doing it right or whether they're limited. But I do applaud John Urschel for what he did. It sucks that we lose a center and a great player in John Urschel in the NFL, especially in the Ravens, but I would not be surprised if more players followed suit and really brought this to the forefront.
Yeah, so I do think the Ray Lewis type of player era is over. I do. I don't think we'll ever see somebody like Ray Lewis, or I don't even know, you know, Ray Lewis is in the league of his own, but I don't think that we're going to see those type of players, because there is such an emphasis on head injuries now that, you know, they've changed where you can hit people, and you can't go, you know, below the knee at some point to get a tackle. You can't, you know, there's all these new rules, and it's all due because they want to protect the head. They want to protect the brain. You got to remember, for those of you that are wrestling fans out there, this is the 10-year anniversary. I think it was last month was the 10-year anniversary of the Chris Benoit tragedy. And that is where, for those who don't know, Chris Benoit was a famous wrestler. He no-showed a pay-per-view one Sunday night, and they go to his home, and they find his child and his wife murdered and him hanging from exercise equipment. So it was a double murder-suicide. When they looked at his brain, they realized he was having concussions almost on a daily basis, and he had the brain of a 67-year-old Alzheimer's patient. So he ever since then.
And that's wrestling, which most uneducated fans think are fake. And you hear Chris Benoit with a problem. So there you go right there, laid out the rest. I mean, right. And that's why I get fired up.
But the reason I bring that up on this podcast is that it's only 10 years. And that is that was the beginning where people were like, oh, we need to figure out, like, what is a concussion and what causes a concussion and what are the effects of a concussion. So 10 years in, and we're already very cautious, but we still don't know anything really about concussions and the long-term effects. So will Ray Lewis be, you know, the showman that he is in, you know, 30, 40 years? Who knows? You know, we're seeing the effects of some concussions in older football players now. But for me, the Chris Benoit tragedy did teach not only wrestling but every other sports league out there to take concussions way more seriously. And with John Urschel stepping away, I think that is a sign of, you know, players. You know, it was always like, I want to get back on the field no matter what. Now people are going, you know what, it's probably in my best interest to not get another concussion or not mess my brain up again.
Absolutely, man. It's something that we got to take seriously, and it's something that's got to be discussed and looked at. But as far as cure and solving for it, you can't. It's pretty much we got to just go through what we got to go through, and the players got to figure out for themselves. It's just something that just it takes away from the game because you just want to root for the player so hard, but at what cost? And that's what everybody's got to ask themselves, and it's going to be a discussion for years to come. And we might see the game change for the worse, as much as we hate to say that, but it's definitely changed in the last 10, 15 years since I've been watching football. You mean you pretty much take in 2000 and on, you know, and I look at all the Ravens highlights and the big crushing hits Ray Lewis had, Reed, and all that, and even other players in the league, and then you're like, you do that now, it's a flag. You do that, and they're suspended, they're fined, and it's just like, it's stupid. And I mean, the league can't police that. It's not malicious intent, it's just the nature of the game, and that's why I get fired up, because it's the whole, you know, arrow going after the head. Unless you viciously go after somebody and you can see intent, don't flag everything you see just because it's near the head. And that's what I'm getting sick of, is they're protecting it. But at the end of the day, you see these guys. I mean, yeah, the Ravens and Steelers hate each other, but they're working out together in the offseason. They're shaking hands at the game. They're praying together. I mean, they like each other at the end of the day. They respect each other. They're still players and still human beings. They're not out there to go, you know, oh, I'm going to take your knees out, I'm going to end your career. I mean, the whole Bounty Gate situation in New Orleans was enough. But and that was alarming at best, or even worse. But it's just something we got to talk about, and it's definitely here to stay in discussions.
Yeah. So I do want to bring up. Now that we're done talking about John Urschel, I do want to bring up. If you look at a lot of these injuries, you know, we have Pitta, we have Crockett Gilmore, we've got a couple more offensive players. It's definitely more offense than defense as far as these long-term injuries are going. What is that going to do for this team that really bulked up their defense with the draft in this offseason and did very little to the offense? What is that going to mean now that we were already kind of, you know, not very deep, didn't have a lot of depth on offense, and now a lot of these offensive players are going away? What does that mean for this offense this year? It kind of sounds like it's going to be like the 2000 Ravens again, where it's going to be all defense all the time.
It's going to have to be. The news on the offense is very concerning. The depth is a problem. I mean, we brought in Larry Donnell, and I will say this. I saw him on Sunday at practice. The dude's tall. Tallest tight end we have on the roster, and that's the new addition, Larry Donnell. I mean, we're going to have to just replenish with players. On the line, it's very, very concerning. and eye-opening because of the lack of depth on the line now as it is. And if more players continue to get hurt, it's just going to be very – it's just going to get worse, especially for the quarterback position, because we need to protect him for the running games. We need to hold our lanes to block special teams, because we need to hold them at bay. So, I mean, it's just really going to trickle down the ranks. It's going to be hard to overcome.
And this is what worries me. If Joe Flacco, if this injury is not as big a deal as we think it is, you know, last we heard it was going to be him sitting for a week and relaxing. Right. What happens if this offensive line is a no-show? Joe's going to be getting hit a lot. So is that back that's already kind of, you know, not the greatest, is that going to be able to make it through an entire season?
He's got to. We have no choice. If it keeps this up, he's going to get met in the backfield more times than not, especially Joe in the running game. So in looking at the injuries, I mean, they're serious. I mean, there are a lot of serious season-ending injuries, man. And we got to backfill. I hate to always be cliche, next man up. It's just usually what the alarm is around here. And if we look at the team as it is now, I mean, just going down the ranks and putting these names out there. And I know you sent out a message to us on the Facebook page, and I'm actually going to pull that up. Just going through the names, because and these are a lot of offensive players. I mean, there's some defensive players, but just look at the offensive impact that we're going to have. Starting in the offense, we had Ken Dixon, starting running back. Croc Gilmore could have been basically starting tight end. Dennis Pitt, another starting tight end. So there's two in the same position. John Ursaro, starting center. Nico Siragusa, rookie, but could be a promise starter. Quincy Quincy A, let's call him. He was carted off today with an injury, another offensive weapon. Breshad Perriman, I don't even know where this hamstring injury today happened. I've yet to even get an update. I've been scouring Twitter. I found a few tweets about there, but no hard evidence or no hard. So I don't even know if that was just tail end or if that's just precautionary. I'm monitoring that, because if he's hurt again, we need to just cut him this season, because how many years is that? It's like three times since we drafted him that he just can't play. And this guy, that's really making me really upset about that. I mean, how many times, if he can't stay healthy, just cut ties. But then if you look at the defensive side, Tavon Young, is a big one in Embrace Canada. He can return, but the timetable's uncertain. So again, a lot of offensive. I think we'll be fine on the defensive side, because we all have our core there. The secondary looks strong in practice. A couple of my friends today kind of chirped and said, "Well, especially my buddy Richie," and he had a point. You know, he said, "You know, was it the offense was that bad that made the defense look good?" And it's kind of like, you know what, that is true, because Mallett was under center, and he had some good throws. Then he had some dismal throws in there and couldn't make the reads. And you're like, yeah. And it just would suck, because we got Wallace back in the second year. We just added Mack, and we had high hopes for the offense. And then all of a sudden Flacco's hurt. We're talking adding quarterbacks. We're talking Mallett starting, and it's just like, oh, great. You know, it sucks. Now Mack is probably like, man, that didn't look so good, does it? You know, I mean, who knows what he's thinking, but it's like, geez, man, it's just we can't catch a break.
Yeah, so you were at the practice on Sunday, and you got to see some of these guys in action. Ryan Mallett is a giant question mark to a lot of fans out there. On Friday and Saturday, it was reported that he threw 7 interceptions, 5 alone on Friday.
He did.
It seems as if this guy is maybe buckling under the pressure a little bit, but what did you see on Sunday? Was there anything of Ryan Mallett worth noting? Because you got to remember, Ryan Mallett was brought in. Yes, he beat the Steelers, but he was a boy for our former offensive coordinator who was no longer with the team.
What I've seen from Mallett was pure. I don't even know what this. I had a loss for words there for a moment. It's just because I don't really know what to think about it, because I'm just going to say this. He's not going to be a starting quarterback. I know he did good for us against the Steelers. That one game he filled in, you know, with Flacco being out on his knee injury, but it was dismal, man. It was horrible. It was hard to watch. The defense dominated. I mean, how practice was run. The defense and offense get a point for any successful play. The defense was beating the offense 74-54. So that puts it in perspective. The defense dominated practice. You know, Weddle came in unblocked and on basically a sack Mallett, he was just incredible. You know, the hit of the game was Carrera stopping West in the backfield. It was a great practice on the defensive front. I think our secondary is going to be bolstered by the addition of Tony Jefferson. Jimmy Smith was out there blanketing receivers, and he had a couple pass deflections and was getting in there. So I'm very impressed what I've seen about defense. Granted, it's against our patchwork offense. Can't to see what they look like in a week against the Redskins on preseason form on the first drive. But the offense is concerning. If we don't have Flacco in the center, this is going to be a long year, and it's going to be over real quick in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so, I mean, I do hate to bring this up, but there's been one name that's been circling the Ravens offense in the quarterback position, and that's Colin Kaepernick. Now, a lot of fans are talking about his off-the-field antics, his sideline antics. So let me just ask you, we'll cover this quickly, because I don't want to get into the stuff that he's involved with off of the field and on the sidelines and everything, but down to just on the field, would he be a better quarterback than having Ryan Mallett as the starter if Joe were to get hurt or not be able to come back from this back injury? Would he improve this offense? Because personally, I definitely think he's a better quarterback than Ryan Mallett, but I don't think he's the kind of guy who will rally the troops and will do a good job inspiring the offense. Because I think the offense is already so beat up. Having Kaepernick come in, I don't think would make that big of a difference.
Well, you bring up a good point, and I don't know if you know this, but Roger Goodell was in town for form in the beginning of practice, if you didn't know that. And that a lot of those questions were brought up to Bisciotti, and Bisciotti was actually basically said he doesn't think he'll help the team win. With that being said, and echoing some of the players, I mean, there's a lot to say about the guy, what he did, what he's about. We know the kind of player, but Bisciotti did say that the Ravens had talked to Kaepernick, but Bisciotti was basically feeling that he's weighing the options, but he doesn't feel that he's going to help us in the long run. So it's, again, I found the Bisciotti quote. So here, instead of paraphrasing, I'll just take it. Quote, we do want to win games, and I'm not sure now that he is going to help us do that, end quote. That's Bisciotti. So the owner right there says he feels like Kaepernick won't help us win games. Now, locker room they've gotten some temperament. We've heard some things about the locker room, good and bad. Now, this is a different take because we've actually have our leader now, Suggs. I don't know if you heard what Suggs said. Did you get a chance to read what Suggs said about him?
The only thing I only really saw the headline. Didn't Suggs just say, "Yeah, bring him in"?
Yeah, and here it is. Quote: "Hell yeah, if he's going to help us win, we have no issues. Not the locker room. Hell yeah, we want him." So that's Suggs. I mean, and we brought him an interesting point. And I work up in Delaware, so I work up in Philadelphia Eagle country. And this is going to be a subject for you, too, because and not only with what Kaepernick did, but how about this? Remember back when Michael Vick, the kind of same player, went through his trials and tribulations? I'm a big dog lover. You're a big dog lover. And I remember you saying that you felt like you couldn't get over what Vick did. But it's almost like the Philly situation. Some team had to take him. Philly did it. You had backlash about it. I mean, I've seen protests out in the stadium with like pet owners and all that. But I'm sure a lot of season ticket holders had dogs. I'm sure a lot of people who attended Eagles games had dogs, and they still went and supported the team. My take on this is not getting too far because I don't want to get down a political discussion. Refuse, and that's not what I want, and I'm sure that's what Kaepernick would want. We're not doing it. What he did was disrespectful, and we all know that, whether you have an opinion about it or not. But here's the problem. We all have a problem with that, but here's the solution about it. My take on this is, yeah, I think on paper he's a better quarterback than Mallett. He doesn't know our system, so that's a downside of it. Mm-hmm. It's not my team to make a decision. And ultimately, I'm happy I don't have to make the decision because it's a tough decision. But I kind of echo what Suggs and what kind of Ray Lewis has been saying. If that player helps us win and helps us improve, I'm all for it too because, hey, I want to win the division. I want to win the AFC North as much as anybody does and see this team win it. I want to get a home playoff game. I want to go to the playoffs. Ultimately, I want to be in Minnesota for Super Bowl 52. That's the destination. If any player can help us get there, past or present, let him do it. I mean, Suggs had his battles with domestic violence. I always joked, and I did jab with a sarcastic, serious note saying, okay, if we're going to entertain Cap, why not entertain bringing Ray Rice back and forgiving that, because we need running back help. So it was kind of like I was half joking, half serious, because I was like, hey, you got a valid point. If you're going to forgive him of his sins, why not forgive Ray? So and Rice, in a sense. But that it is a interesting story topic, but in the sense of sparking political debate, that's kind of what I've seen from the fans, and that's why it sucks that it has to happen that way and what he did. And, I mean, he's talked to Ray. Ray's talked to him directly. He's talked to Vachon, and he swears he won't do it again. He's talking to the locker room about it. I say, you know, his heart was in the right place of, like, he wanted to take action, but the way he did it, for one, was way disrespectful, and the way he used his job as a platform. I was like, if I use my job as a platform for that kind of stuff, I'll be fired. It's against company policy in my job. So it's kind of like I have to watch what I have my own policies and procedures I have to adhere to my employer, because if I act out a certain way, I can get fired. So it's kind of like it's the ultimate karma per se that he doesn't have a job, and I'm laughing on the inside because it's like, hey, you did this yourself, dude. I mean, but then, you know, granted, you know, he had a great quarterback rating last year. His numbers weren't that terrible, but it could be half karma, half play. I don't know, but let it play out. I'm happy I don't have to make the decision. If it's made and he is on the team, we're going to deal with the backlash accordingly, and we're going to see who the true blue fans are, if they want to stand up and support the team, or if they're going to throw their fair weather jersey in the garbage and go support the Eagles or Steelers up the road or the Redskins down south. But, you know, that's what I feel. I feel that no matter what, the team's going to make a move, whether you like it or hate it, you got to stick to it. And I would love to hear from Eagles fans about that when Vic got hired, because you got to stick by your team no matter what. It sucks that what players did, but then you look at Ray too. We stuck by Ray for his trials and tribulations, and he came full circle. But it's almost like we want to see Cap do good. You know, he wants to learn from his mistakes. But on the flip side, Brandon, it wasn't a legal issue. It irked. Yeah. It was a disrespectful act, but it wasn't like Vic was dogfighting. Ray Lewis had a misdemeanor. Ray Rice had a domestic violence situation. So those are legal issues, and the law's involved. The law was involved with Kaepernick. He just did something stupid and had backlash against the whole country about it, sparked a national debate. So that's where it all plays in. And with the times that we are in now, it's just very sensitive and a very passionate topic that people get fired up about. But I don't want it in the NFL, and I don't want it on the sports airwaves. I'm here to talk football strategy, fantasy, anything, and keep it light. I mean, but it is a serious thing we have to address, but at the same time, that's the baggage it comes with, and Bisciotti basically is weighing that out. That's why he said, quote, pray for us, because he's like, he feels that it's a heavy situation because he has to take into account sponsorships. He's pulled fans. He had a forum with 100-plus PSL owners in practice with the commissioner. He's probably talked to the commissioner about it for his thing. He's talked to Kaepernick himself in his camp. So there's probably been a lot of behind-the-scenes discussions, I'm sure, mostly good. If they're entertaining the thought, they've probably been good discussions, but I say, hey, whoever's in purple and black, they better help us win some games. I don't care who it is. I mean, but then you look at it this way. I mean, we've invited ex-Steelers on the team, Cordell Stewart. We've had other players come in and out. We don't know their past. You know, and you're speaking to me of two DUIs, misdemeanors, so, and you know that. So it's like we all have our past. So, you know, are you going to judge one guy or the other? And that's where I think the line's got to be drawn. It's you got to take the personal thing out of it. What he did for, you know, you gotta hate that portion of it. But at the same time, if he ends up playing for us and Joe's hurt worse and he ends up winning games, we're all going to forgive him if he's throwing four touchdowns a game and throwing touchdowns to Wallace and Macklin and running for a couple, and we're 6-1 in seven games. Then we're going to go, Cap, hey, Cap, you're all right, bud. You know, we forgive you. But it's a sensitive topic that's got to be taken seriously. And Bisciotti's got a heavy decision to weigh in case Flacco is worse than it is. It's tough, man. It's a really tough situation because we didn't expect it, and we don't have a solid backup. And this is the situation we're in, man. It sucks.
Yeah, it definitely does. And well said. I agree with everything you're saying there. I just go back to the fact that the whole thing is, will he help us win, then bring him in? I don't think he will help us win. I think Ryan Mallett, yes, is not as good a quarterback as Kaepernick once was, but I think that you have so many holes on this offense, just adding Kaepernick in to, you know, wait until Joe comes back type of deal, isn't going to help anybody in the situation.
No,
I think you go out there with money, if you have any, and try to get other positions, get some depth in those other positions.
And that's the thing, too. It's everybody's talking about whether they're signed a backup or not, but now we just had Nico Siragusa go down, that's another lineman. We had Urshel retire. I mean, we need somebody to block, so I don't care who. You're right. Even if we sign him, even if Mallett's under center, Flacco's healthy enough to be there week one, if no one's going to block for these guys, whoever's under center is not going to matter. We need to address what we need now and then let it fall. I mean, from right now, I think Flacco is going to be the healthiest one of the bunch because he's slated to start week one. And I've heard some tweets. I've read some tweets. I've heard some information. I haven't seen anything. I didn't see him at practice. Obviously, he's resting. I didn't see him anywhere on the sidelines, which is good. You don't want anything to happen there. But in all respect, it's just concerning because when number five's involved in an injury report, it's detrimental to the success of the team because we rise and fall as these leaders perform. And if they're injured, if Suggs is injured, if Flacco's injured, if Mike Wallace is injured, if Macklin's injured, if any Mosley's injured, if any of these Brandon Williams, Adamola, if these major, major impact, high profile stars on our team get hurt, it impacts because it's hard to fill that void. You have to set yourself up for success and get the best players on the field. And Harbaugh always says they cut the 53-man roster to fit the best players on the squad. There could be some surprise cuts. There may be some surprise keepers. But you have to trust the system. And we always say in Ozzy, you got to trust the team. You got to trust the owner. We have a first-class franchise. The commissioner was in town. That was even wonderful. I got pictures of him. He was on the sidelines talking to Bisciotti and Harbaugh for probably a good first hour of the practice. So it's great. You know, we showed off the video boards, which are phenomenal, by the way.
Tell me a little bit about those video boards.
In a light note, video boards were triple the size, bro. Triple the size. I'm telling you what. Got to see them in both daylight and at nighttime. They're phenomenal. I was really close to the one in the lower end zone. Obviously, my seats are up higher during the season, but very awesome. It sounded like the sound system was pumped up a little bit loud. It's going to be great. I think the night games for the Thursday and Monday night games here are going to be fantastic for national coverage. They're triple the size of the old screens, put that in perspective. And I want to also let you know this. I'm going to do research, but I believe these are probably the largest outdoor screens in the NFL because look at this. They're actually longer than Jerry's World screens.
Oh, wow.
Yep, that's impressive. But they beat us by about 4,000 in square feet. I actually did research while I was in the stadium. Dallas Cowboys screen that hangs over their field is 160 feet long. Ours are 200 feet long. But theirs are in this, like, I think 70-plus feet high. Ours are only 36. So if you do the square footage, Dallas's stadium screens ended to be like 11,000 plus square foot. Ours are only 7,200. But to put it in perspective, I've seen the signs of the little one. I think the little screens were like 90 feet wide or like 60 feet. It was something really small where I actually said it was – the Ravens website said it was 300% bigger is what the screens were. So put it in perspective. It's triple the size. The screens, I can't wait for you to see me get in there. They're awesome. This is phase one of the project. I don't know if anybody knows this, but phase two – they're putting four little screens in each of the corners of the stadium, so there'll be six screens total. That's going to be sick. You remember how when we were at MetLife Stadium and they had like four screens in each of the corner of the stadium?
Yeah.
It's almost going to be looking like that, except the screen's going to be up where like those flight decks are, and then you got the two main huge vision boards in the center of the stadium. So this stadium is going to pop come next year, and then they're putting escalators and elevators in to get to the upper level. So the Ravens are showing their premier franchise, and – you have to do the upgrades because, as we've seen, if you want to keep the team in Baltimore, this is why Cleveland moved the team here. This is why other teams moved. It's stadiums. You know, Oakland was tired of playing in a baseball field and sharing a stadium with that crap. And they're moving to Vegas in a few years and getting a brand new stadium. I'm going to Minnesota, which has a brand new stadium up there. They were about to move. Chargers played in Qualcomm. Qualcomm needed updates. The stadium authority didn't want updated. So, you know what? We're going to go to LA and they're going to build us a stadium. So, it's like that's the problem. It's almost like if you don't take care of your house, we're going to move out. And that's kind of where the NFL is right now. So if anybody wants to whine and complain, do your research. That's why teams leave. Cleveland, not to get on a high tangent on that, but Cleveland's team wasn't stolen. I don't know what the whole Colts situation was. I still have to do my research. I've heard a lot of theories. But it was everything surrounded a stadium and a stadium authority at some point. So, Art Modell won a new stadium in Cleveland. They didn't want to build them. So he goes, you know what? I'm relocating the city who wants it. And obviously – Art brought him here in 96, and what, not even two or three years later, we have the stadium we have now. It was built. So you take care of your home. The upgrades are fine. I love them. Tickled to death as a season ticket holder about the upgrades. But you're going to love the screens, dude. And the fireworks show was phenomenal. The practice was run well. It was a surprise. I got to take my dad to practice. Me and him had some good moments. And the Super Bowl trophies were on display. Announced to my surprise, and me and him got to – he got to see trophies for the first time. They were on display. It was awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, man. So it was overall great environment. Stadium is in tip-top shape. Just got to paint the grass, but the grass, just I love it. But everybody looked sharp. I had some good pictures. Macklin looked good catching passes, and I can't wait to get after him preseason. But got to get through his injuries, man. We'll get through it. But it's just it's concerning, and it's adding up, and hopefully they stop here shortly.
Absolutely. So, Josh, this has been a bit of a long one for training camp. No preseason games yet.
It's Raven season. Let them get long, man.
That's right.
This ain't June where there's nothing to talk about. It's August 1st, and preseason's 9 days away, man. This is football season. Let's ramp them up, brother. Yeah, and the fans want it. How many times I've been hearing tweets and text messages and Facebook posts, when you guys doing a show, when you guys – I mean, people are anxious, man. They want to get the call out there, and I've been sharing the show, and people have been asking me, when you doing a show? I'm like, dude, I'm recording later today, man. So they're hungry for it, so let's give them the call, shall we?
That's right. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this week?
North the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Make sure you follow us over on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. We're going to try to do a little bit more Facebook live videos throughout this season, so make sure you're following us there. But that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. The season is ramping up, man. We're getting into it. You know, getting through the dog days of summer and training camp, and preseason is 9 days away as we're recording this. Can't wait to get after it, but man, these injuries, as we just discussed on a great show, they're concerning. They're piling up. Hopefully they stop. Hopefully everybody heals, and with the season enders, you got to hang your heads and just pray for a speedy recovery, and we'll see you again next year if you still remain on the roster in purple and black. Guys, you got to stick with us. There's a lot of personnel moves that got to be made, a lot of big decisions the Ravens have to make. You got to trust the team, trust the process. The best players are going to be on the field at the end of the day. We have a division here. We have to take the North from the Steelers. We remember how Christmas night felt as we had to win to stay alive, and we were right there, even with the team we had. So we just got to keep the faith. Ravens Nation got to hold strong. Guys, get excited. Preseason game number one is 9 days away against the Redskins at home on Thursday, August 10th. Can't wait to be down at the bank and seeing it. Football action is here. Starts this week with the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And I want to say congrats to all those who did make it this year. Even next year is going to be bigger because we're going to have big coverage. Our own 52 gets inducted next year. He's eligible and we already know he's going. But that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.